He's a multi-instrumentalist, music historian, and a very talented songwriter and storyteller. Lil Rev is my guest for the first part of the show this evening. Welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Well, we're glad you made the trek over from Milwaukee.
Thank you.
I have to ask you first about your name. I know you as Lil Rev. Where does that come from?
Lil Rev, you know, out of all the stories that I tell, Stephanie, I wish this was as exciting as some of the others, but really, Rev, first and foremost, is derivative of my last name, Revinson. And it's a nickname that I acquired as a teenager in high school. One of my buddies was twice my size, and so some of my other friends started calling me Lil Rev because we were always hanging out, and kind of made me look like a midget. But my early heroes were all these blues guys. In my latter teenage years, when I started performing, there were guys like Big Walter Horton and Sonny Boy Williamson. And, you know, they had all these really cool monikers, nicknames, and so it just kind of stuck.
It makes sense for the kind of music that you play. Yeah. Now, I mentioned that you're a music historian, and what does that mean? Have you studied, you know, sort of ethnomusicology or learned these things kind of by osmosis? Or what's your background?
All of the above. I took a lot of classes while I was in college. I'm a graduate of UW-Milwaukee, and I took a lot of music history-related classes with Professor Will Schmidt, one of my local heroes, and also just fell in love with where the songs came from an early age, and just always wanted to know who else had recorded them when I found a version of a song, and just how it changed hands from performer to performer and across the continuum of decades, and just how much songs had changed and evolved. But a lot of it is just sort of my own research, spending a lot of time in the library and reading music periodicals like the Old Time Herald and Sing Out and different magazines of this sort. But yeah, just kind of just fascinated by the evolution of American popular music. And when I say that, I mean everything that's sort of hanging on the lower branches of the tree, you know, and the roots of it all.
Right, the American roots music in the true sense of that word.
Sure.
We talked about how the music evolves, and that's kind of the mark of real folk music, is it gets handed down, it gets changed, it gets adapted. And you're going to start with a song that has been adapted by Wisconsin's own Larry Penn. I know it as a murder ballad, but you're going to be doing a different version.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to do Larry Penn's version of Banks of the Ohio. And if you know Larry, or if you get to know him, you'll know that his songs have a lot of social conscience to them. There's a lot of mud on the boots, so to speak. And I like that about any tunes that he has created, whether they're original things or parodies of old melodies. And yeah, most folks like murder ballads. They just don't know it, Stephanie.
That's
you know,
true.
When you say, I'm going to sing a murder ballad, you know, and you're in front of an audience, you know, you see these grimaces of, oh, no, you know, that's just too over the top for some folks. But you know, these are the very same folks who are whistling Frankie and Johnny.
Mm-hmm,
and they're
right.
Humming Hang Down Your Head, Tom Dooley. And,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So they never maybe thought of those songs in that context.
There's
but,
a lot of darkness in some
oh,
of those
yeah.
Earlier.
You know, I remember very clearly seeing a book on the library shelf about murder ballads, and literally it was a couple inches thick. So I knew that there were a lot of these songs out there to be had.
Well, let's hear this updated version. It's almost become a kind of a labor song that Larry has done of Banks of the Ohio.
Yeah, yep. I have to preface this with just a little side note, and that's that I grew up on the northwest side of Milwaukee, and I was not far from American Motors Corporation out there in Capitol Drive, where the car frames were stacked, you know, 20, 30 feet high, and in the shadow of companies like Briggs & Stratton and all these other different companies, many of which still employ folks in Wisconsin and Milwaukee, but many of whom have sort of gone the way of the times, south of the border or across the ocean.
Thank you.
Yes, my son, take a walk, just a walk, a little ways down beside where the steel mills grow, down on the banks of the Ohio. Erector sets are not mere toys, training tools for girls and boys who dream their dreams of futures bold, down on the banks of the Ohio. Now the mills went up on the banks of sand, and the steel went out and built this land. Workers joined that CIO down on the banks of the Ohio. While we toiled to build their plans, new mills were built in foreign lands. Left us here with idle hands down on the banks of the Ohio. Now the age of steel, it's a come and gone. Left us here to sing this song. Round rusting mills and slag piles cold down on the banks of the Ohio. My son, take a walk, just a walk, a little ways down beside where the steel mills grow, down on the banks of the Ohio. Erector sets are not mere toys, but training tools for girls and boys who dream their dreams of futures bold, down on the banks of the Ohio.
Of the Ohio, lyrics by Larry Penn. You know, Larry, almost like his mentor, Utah Phillips, is so good at putting a lot of power in a small amount of words, and just a few words.
It is a true art.
Yeah.
And I grew up listening to Larry Penn and sneaking into taverns before I was of age to just to soak up the likes of which was something that left me in awe, this body of work that you could catch Larry singing from Midnight Special to the Big Rock Candy Mountain to the Woody Guthrie stuff and the Lead Belly and all this great music that he was sharing with people alongside of his own tunes. And yeah, you know, there is a strong sentiment of, care for the worker, whoever he or she may be in whatever profession, you might find them.
Since we're talking about Larry, let me ask you about the recent CD that the two of you did together. It's called Around the Campfire. How did this collaboration come about?
Around the Campfire, many ways, kind of like a dream come true for me, because it's not every day, Stephanie, that we get to collaborate with our heroes and our mentors. First of all, I was just honored that someone that I consider to be one of my local music heroes wanted to sit down and make a record of where we were at in our careers together. And so the idea that Larry put forth was that we would each bring a handful of traditional tunes to honor the tradition of songs, and also bring a few of our own original tunes as well. So, you know, on it you'll find things like Drill Ye Terriers Drill, and that'll be alongside of, you know, tunes like Bloom Where You're Planted, original kind of stuff. And
Hallelujah, I'm a Bomb,
Midnight Special, you know, just some real
Freight Train.
Chestnuts. Yeah, Freight Train on the ukulele. So all kinds of cool stuff on there. And yeah, the title says it all, Around the Campfire.
And that's with Lil Rev and Larry Penn. If you're just joining us, my guest is Lil Rev. And he has brought with him his guitar, his banjo, his very fancy ukulele. I've never seen a ukulele quite look like that. Not to mention a whole portfolio full of harmonicas. Holy cow. You've got a lot going on there. Well, what would you like to do next? I know you've done some work with the quilting community, and you do some one-man shows. There are a lot of enthusiastic quilters in the Midwest and in Wisconsin. How did you tap into that as part of your traditional music and roots music kind of performances?
Well, like so many things, it was happenstance. And for example, I came to the ukulele because one of my fans gave me one early on in my career, just kind of set it on the stage at a gig, passed on a family heirloom. That's happenstance, right? And the same thing with quilting. One of my friends in Milwaukee, Nina, heard me singing a quilting song and thought it'd be a great idea to share it with her group, the North Shore Quilters Guild. I had no notion of not only how organized, but how what a multitude of quilting organizations are out there. And I had no preconception about how this theme is perfect for someone who is involved in the folk arts. My connection was because my grandparents, you know, worked in the fiber arts. My grandpa was a shoemaker. He was always, you know, stitching soles and mixing dyes. And my grandma, you know, had hundreds of spools of thread. And I actually inherited her giant chest of buttons, which I used to spill out and play with when I was a kid. And so, you know, I grew up around people who were working in the fiber arts was a necessity. Or as I came to discover, one African-American woman from Mississippi said in 1940, nobody went out and bought blankets when I was a kid. We made our own, not always because we wanted to, because we had to. And so I fell in love with the idea of quilting in so much as use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without. I can't pay for the things you want to buy. Wear your old faded jeans. They're patched, but they're clean. Walk proud, my son, hold your head up high, as the song goes. And so, yeah, I mean, I could go on and on all day about this, but, yeah, the patchwork quilt, like what Larry sings about. Mm-hmm. These are all your old clothes and your hand-me-downs cut into squares and create, you know, put together to keep us warm on a cold winter night. I love that idea.
And it's kind of an analogy of our lives, too, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And so I sang for this one group. I put together a program, which, you know, I know hundreds of songs, and in general, I'll put together a program for anyone around any theme because this is what I do for a living, and I could have been your kid, you know? But, you know, with that in mind, I had no idea that I would fall in love with this and that these quilters would just sort of start telling each other in a very, you know, natural way. And it would grow organically, and pretty soon I would start presenting this show about the history of quilting in America from the Civil War to the present, all across the country, and continue to learn as much as I could about quilting. And my wife and I are trying to get to the point where, you know, we're also creating quilts as well, but having a three-year-old doesn't always...
doesn't give you quite enough
doesn't
time.
Doesn't always allow for our goals and our dreams in the... immediate
right.
moment.
Well, let's hear one of these quilting songs. Is this one of your own?
This is one of my own, yeah. It's called The Colors of My Quilt, and talks about the emotional side of quilting. A lot of quilters talk about how it saved their lives. You know, I interviewed an old woman out in Saukville who talked about, she said, Little Rev, I can remember my husband blowing up stumps out in the on the farm field. That's how far back I go. And and now they're all passed on, and I'm the last one. And what do I do to pass my time? I make quilts. I donate them to church raffles and homeless shelters and reservations and all kind of places where people might need something to keep them warm. And I, you know, this is why the subtitle is How Quilters Save the World when I present this program. So here's the emotional side of quilting, the colors of my quilt. Blue are the days that I've seen, times they were tough and so lean. This old life, it seems like a dream. Blue are the days that I've seen. Brown like the leaves in the fall. Everything changes, I know. We start out green, so sweet and so clean. Brown like the leaves in the fall. These are the colors of my quilt, painted by things that I've felt. Golds and yellows and earth tones that mellow. These are the colors of my quilt. Little bit of silver and gold, just like the candle that glows. Change in my pocket, my sweet lover's locket. Little bit of silver and gold. Always there's black and white, just like the day follows night. Things we can't see sometimes set us free. Always there's black and white. These are the colors of my quilt, painted by things that I've felt. Golds and yellows and earth tones that mellow. These are the colors of my quilt. Gray like the clouds up above. Everyone needs a little love. Wait for the sun, sometimes it don't come. Gray like the clouds up above. They say that the joys and sorrows of a quilter's life are stitched into the fabric of the quilt. And so it's a story in stitches. If we sleep underneath that quilt, we might feel the love. We might also feel the sorrow that came through over the weeks and months that that quilter took to make that quilt. Red like the roses that bloom, my little woman's perfume. If you be my bride, girl, I'll be your groom. Red like the roses that bloom. These are the colors of my quilt, painted by things that I've felt. Golds and yellows and earth tones that mellow. These are the colors of my quilt. These are the colors of my quilt, painted by things that I've felt. Golds and yellows and earth tones that mellow. These are the colors of my quilt.
Of my quilt. Boy, that's such an evocative song. Wonderful lyrics.
Thank you.
Your own. Lil Rev is my guest, and we're listening to some traditional tunes, some original tunes, and quite a variety of instruments. I'm Stephanie Elkins, and you're listening to Simply Folk on Wisconsin Public Radio. That song reminded me of some of the things that people have made me over the years, afghans and quilts, and you feel like you have the love of that person with you when you're covered up or bundled up in something like that.
Yeah, you know, you're wrapped in there in the emotions of life.
Right.
And I think metaphorically, when I say that in my program about the joys and the sorrows are stitched in, you know, into the fiber of the quilt there as they're making it, it's a metaphor, of course, but it's something I think everyone can relate to. And, you know, here are your options. Go to Target or Walmart or somewhere where they sell comforters and quilts and buy one. you know, and take a look at where it's made, and don't read into it too much, but also then take out that old, you know, worn out patchwork quilt from the chest or under the bed or in the attic or the basement or wherever you might keep it, and sleep under the two on different nights and get a sense of, you know, what is real. That's what I like to project when I'm talking about things that are handed down as well. It's a living, there's something vibrant about it.
Absolutely. Just like the music we're talking about, handed down and alive and vibrant. Now, you've done, we talked about the one-man show that you do for quilting. You also do one-man shows about the Jews of Tin Pan Alley, Jews and blues, Yiddish music. Now, how did you get into all that?
Well, thanks for asking. You know, I grew up with it because my grandfather and my grandmother, well, jokingly, I always say they spoke Yiddish when they didn't want us to know what they were saying. Yeah, and there are lots of folks out there. It doesn't have to have been Yiddish. It could have been German, Italian, Polish, any Scandinavian tongue. Mm-hmm. Something about that generation where there was this sort of idea that they didn't have to pass on the mother tongue, the mama Russian, as we call it. And so something was actually being lost in terms of a tradition, because what you have is your language. But fortunately, in American culture, Yiddishisms have become Americanisms. Comedians picked up on the most colorful words in the language, none of which I will repeat right now. But, you know, that's what I picked up growing up around grandparents who didn't necessarily want to pass on the language for whatever reason. I didn't have a say in the matter. But once these folks are gone, we're looking to retain those parts of our heritage that help us feel whole and, you know, get an idea of our own identity. And everybody should be proud of who they are here in America in this melting pot. While we seek to homogenize in order to sell our products, we still need to retain our heritage. And so this was my attempt to look at the Jewish contribution to music in America, and the Jews of Tin Pan Alley follows the trail of you know, early songwriting in America, from After the Ball to Take Me Out to the Ball Game to By the Light of the Silvery Moon, you know, Sophie Tucker, Al Jolson, you know, Fanny Bryce, all these folks and their interrelationships with those who are inspiring them, their African-American counterparts in jazz and ragtime and all that. And it's a fascinating story. And when I finished that show and performed it around the country, it turned into Jews and Blues, which is the second part of the story. It's a story of the Jews' relationships with African-Americans in places like Maxwell Street, which ceases to exist anymore. And, you know, I don't know, the Chess Brothers, Muddy Waters, Howling Wolf, those relationships that they had. And then real obvious examples like Lieber and Stoller, you know, writing You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog and all these different kind of things. It's a fascinating story. And others tell it too, guys like Ben Sidran and people like that, Jack Gottlieb. There's a lot of great people telling and writing about this story. I try to do it all in kind of a folksy kind of approach when I do it. Even my Tin Pan Alley stuff is sort of delivered with a Carter Family approach on the guitar and all that as well.
It's a lot of material to bite off and chew and swallow. Holy cow. That's, I mean, there's been a huge, huge influence on American popular music over the decades.
Yeah. Yep. Still, the through line, Stephanie, is that we couldn't have done it without each other. You know, perhaps there was something unique about the Jewish experience. But Leadbelly said it best when he said, we might have come over in separate boats, but we're all in the same boat now, brother. And there in those tenements, eight to a room, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
So, yeah. You know, with that in mind, I could possibly deviate from what I intended to sing and maybe sing a Yiddish folk song.
That'd be lovely.
Would that be okay?
That'd be wonderful.
All right. Let me pick up my guitar here. And I don't know how often folks who listen to Simply Folk get to hear this music, but it's a vibrant, rich, you know, repository of, it's a wellspring of music. And Pete Seeger, the Weavers, the Limelighters, many popular folk groups have recorded these tunes. The Folkways label has got a tremendous amount of Yiddish music. Guys like Mark Olf and Ruth Rubin, and this is just, you know, folksy renditions of these Eastern European tunes.
You're playing a minor chord right now, an A minor. So many of the Yiddish songs and Jewish folk songs seem to be kind of in a minor mode. Is that a holdover from maybe some influence in Eastern Europe or something like
sure,
that?
Sure, you know, that's part of the evolution of it, for sure. You know, minor versus major.
Right.
You know, haunting.
Yeah.
Melancholy.
Painful.
You know, versus bright.
Yeah.
You know, I'll quote from my show and I'll tell you that my grandmother's matzo ball soup tasted better than everyone else's because it mixes the laughter with the tears. At least that was her reply. And I like to believe that these Yiddish folk songs, whether they be sort of standards like the one I'm going to sing for you now or some of the lesser known, have the laughter and the tears. And all good music has laughter and tears in it, whether it's, you know, the Tex-Mex or, you know, any of these great traditions. Leadbelly, who we mentioned earlier, he's saying, you don't know my mind when you see me laughing. I'm laughing just to keep from crying. So all great music, I think, has this as a key ingredient to it. Whether that answers your question about the minor or not, I don't know. But
what's the name of the song?
A Tumbalalaika. Tumbalalaika. And it's a love song. Ta boche une traf, racht und tracht a ganzen hai. Wem in zu nehmen, hunit farschem, wem in zu nehmen, hunit farschem. Tumala, tumala, tumare lai. Tumala, tumala, tumare lai. Tumare lai, kuspielbare lai. Tumare lai, freilig so sein. It says a young man is deep in thought, wondering who will be his wife for all of his life. And he's been set up, Stephanie, you know. It's matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match, find me a find, and catch me a catch. And he's standing there waiting to be wed, but he's shaking in his boots because he's been set up and he'd like to have some say in the matter. And such is the story of the traditional wedding. So she steps up to him, and he's only got a minute to connect with her, you know, there in the shtetl, the little village. And he looks at her and remembers this old riddle that the old-timers used to ask one another. And he says, tell me, darling, I'd love to know, what is it that needs no rain to grow? What's not consumed even as it's burning? What weeps no tears even as it's yearning? And much to his surprise, she fires right back and she says, you foolish boy, didn't you know? A stone does not need no rain to grow. A heart is never consumed even as it's burning. And look at me, I'm not weeping any tears and yet I'm yearning. Oh yeah, and his heart goes pitter-patter, pitter-patter real fast. And he knew that the matchmaker got it right that time, you know? So this is how the song unfolds, just so your listeners know as I continue to sing.
Mädel, Mädel, ich will bei dir fragen, was kann wachsen, wachsen an mir? Was kann brennen und die Teufel, was kann mir weinen und trägen? Tumbala, tumbala, tumbarelei, tumbala, tumbala, tumbarelei. Like a spielbar in I, to mud in I, freilich so sein.
I'll never forget, I often tell this story, Stephanie. I was singing this the very first time at a place called the Milwaukee Jewish Home and Care Center down on Prospect Avenue in Milwaukee by the lake. And a little lady jumped up out of her chair and snatched the microphone out from in front of me. And I had never had that happen before. And she started singing the last verse that I'm about to sing now. But almost as quickly as she started singing that last verse, she started crying at the same time. And I looked down and I saw the numbers tattooed to her arm, and I knew right then and there in that moment in my spry 24 years of living that this song meant more to her than I could ever possibly imagine. And I'll never forget that day, Stephanie, because why, just as I thought I wish I could change what one human being had done to another, I also thought to myself on that day, well, I'm not as magical as Harry Potter. I certainly don't have that gift to change the course of history. But what I can do is I can keep a few old songs alive, because they obviously seem to matter here. Oh, yeah.
Narische Buche, Gustav zu Frank, a stinking, wachsen, wachsen on Frank. Lieber kein Brennen, ohne Teufel, a Hans kein Pain, weinen und Trell. Tumbala, tumbala, tumbarelai. Tumbala, tumbala, tumbarelai. Tumbarelai, kaspielbarelai. Tumbarelai, fredig so sein.
Take it home, boy. Everybody should keep their traditions alive.
That they should. The words of Lil Rev. That was Tumbalalaika. Yes. Lovely. And I know we have that on your Yiddish, Jewish and Yiddish folk songs CD.
That's right.
And I know played some of that on Simply Folk and will continue to do so. My guest is Lil Rev. This is Simply Folk. I'm Stephanie Elkins. And we're coming to the end of our discussion, and we've got time for about two more songs,
right.
I think. We talked about Larry Penn a little bit and the CD that you made with him. Would you like to do one from that CD?
Sure, I would, yeah. Yep, I'd love to. Yep. Grab my guitar here. And
we're going to have to hear from the ukulele at some point.
Oh, yeah, I know. All right. Well, as long as you're talking about the ukulele, you're right. I should probably do a little bit of ukulele.
We're going to deviate from the list again. I love it. This ukulele, by the way, is not made of wood. It is quite shiny.
All right. So this is a resophonic ukulele that I'm about to play, which means that it's... people would generalize and call it a steel ukulele, but it's made of brass and it's nickel plated, and it's made by a guy named John Morton out in Port Townsend area, Washington.
Beautiful to look
kind
at.
Kind of like the steel guitars.
Mm-hmm.
So I will play one off of the Around the Campfire, and this was a tune that Larry actually heard me perform at a house concert we were doing in Kenosha, and suggested that we put this on the CD. So this one's Larry's choice here.
All right, what's it called?
And I'm going to play it as an instrumental, though most folks know this as a song covered by so many, but most notably Elizabeth Cotton, and it's a tune called Freight Train. It goes like this. Thank you.
was it resonator or resophonic?
Resophonic.
Resophonic ukulele performed by Lil Rev. You have done so much work with kids, with senior centers, with lots of education, lots of workshops, lots of house concerts. What does your calendar look like? What's a typical month for you?
Well, the way that it's gone the last still 7 years or so is I make a fall tour of the Eastern Seaboard in November, and it's about a 4-week tour. It takes us from the Carolinas on up to Vermont and Maine. And these days I make that with my wife and my little girl, Mariella, a little 3-year-old girl. And then in the winter, we come home for December, Thanksgiving and the holidays and Christmas and Hanukkah and all this stuff. And then after that, we go out for 3 months, which starts in Florida and takes us through Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California, Oregon, Washington, Nevada, the Dakotas. It changes up a little bit every year, but that's our, 3-month journey. And generally, retirement homes, music stores, ukulele clubs, folk societies, house concerts, festivals, performing arts centers, libraries, schools, you name it. My tours are made up of a lot of grassroots kind of stuff. As I mentioned earlier, I comfortably fly under the radar. This is not the life of a pop star. This is making a living, doing what you love, and bringing happiness and joy to a lot of people.
Right. And handcrafted music, the whole artisan movement. I mean, we're finally coming back to it in many areas, but with music, it's been here the whole time.
Yes.
Yep, and you're keeping it alive.
I'm doing my best. I've had a lot of good role models.
You're very active with the ukulele in particular, and you're active with a group in Milwaukee, and you've got a gig coming up in June. What is that all about?
Well, June 8th, we're doing our ukulele cabaret night, and that is basically, it's just something to kind of pique the interest a few months prior to our ukulele festival in the fall, and sort of keep a buzz going about it. And we bring in various acts from around the Midwest, and it's just a great night of song and story and singing and all kinds of stuff at Sunset Playhouse Community Theater in Elm Grove. That's June 8th, and everybody's welcome.
We'll put that on the concert calendar, the Simply Folk concert calendar. Sounds like there's a nice, active group of ukulele players in Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's really blossomed into something beautiful. Again, another obvious example of grassroots music making, the notion of rise up singing, right? And I watch this unfold all over the country teaching at ukulele clubs. But I thought, why can't we do this in Milwaukee? And so most of these towns that had ukulele clubs, most of them also had festivals. So one thing led to the next, and other people were interested. And with a lot of great volunteers, we started the Milwaukee Ukulele Club. And that turned into a festival. And it's just been booming. It's really been booming. And people are playing all different kinds of music on it, from, old camp songs to blues to rock to just about every style of music you can think of is happening on the ukulele. So
excellent. Well, what would you like to close with?
I think I'll do a short little rendition of Rain Crow Bill, which is a version that I learned from an old recording of Woody Guthrie and Sonny Terry, and play this on the 10-hole diatonic harmonica. So this is called Rain Crow Bill.
Quite a showpiece for the harmonica. That's Little Rev with Rain Crow Bill. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing your time and talent with us. Really appreciate
it. Thanks for having me on the program.
Virtuoso ukulele player and guitar player and harmonica player and singer, folk singer. We really appreciate it.
Thanks.
My guest has been Lil Rev, and if you're interested in what he's up to, you can visit his website, which is lilrev.com, and he also has a ukulele blog at fountainofuke.blogspot.com, and also, of course, Twitter and Facebook and everything else. So thanks again. Really appreciate it. Wonderful, wonderful music.
Thanks, Stephanie, and everyone at Simply Folk. Really appreciate all you do to keep it alive.